Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Thanks. Welcome to today's Seed Time and Harvest Broadcast. You're listening to Bishop Hutchinson. I'm blessed. I'm privileged. I'm highly favored, saints, to have another opportunity to come and speak life to you today. Praise the Lord. We had a blessed and wonderful time of corporate worship today, as well as Cell Church Fellowship here in Forest Park in the Atlanta metropolitan area. We send special greetings to all of those who joined us for fellowship on yesterday and for corporate worship today. It's so good to know who we are in Christ Jesus. So I pray that your day is also blessed wherever you are around the world listening to my voice. Let us just give God a praise and give God a thanks right now for just being God, for being who he is and his dominion and power and sovereignty over our lives. Hallelujah, thanks to God. Today we're going to be concluding our series of studies dealing with the different types of psalms, and today's lesson will deal with the Messianic Psalms, subtopic, the coming of the Lord. And so next week we're going to start a brand new series of studies, so you want to stay tuned in to the Kingdom Broadcasting Network. Next week we'll be starting a series of studies dealing with practical Christianity coming from the book of James. But this week again, the Messianic Psalms that we're going to read about today is going to give us great excitement and anticipation of the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's come once to die for man, but he's coming again to rule the heavens and the earth. So we should be excited about that. Let me go ahead and give you our central truth and our key verse in just a moment, but let me also prepare you to get some announcements in a minute. Our central truth for this week's lesson dealing with the Messianic Psalms is that Jesus, God's promised Messiah, is foreshadowed or predicted in the Psalms. Our key verse that we're going to look at today is coming from Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, and we'll look at both the King James Version as well as the New International Version for your hearing today. The King James Version of Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 reads, "I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee." The New International Version says, "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, You are my Son, today I have become your Father." Hallelujah. Let's seek the face of God in prayer right now, saints. Glory to God in the highest. We thank you, Father. We bless you. We magnify and exalt your holy name. We bless and praise you. We exalt you because you alone are God, and besides you, there is no other God. You are a healer. You are a deliverer. You are a refuge. You are a provider. You are a sustainer, God, and we worship you today. May your name be exalted above the heavens and earth. May your glory go forth even now, Father. As the waters cover the oceans, let your glory cover the earth. Over every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation of the earth right now, let your majesty and your power be revealed. Let it be made manifest in revelation come upon us tonight. During this lesson, Father, the realization of who you are and who your Son Jesus is, and let us embrace and accept the salvation that comes through him. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and amen. Glory to God. Thanks again. I welcome you to the Kingdom Broadcasting Network. You're listening to our Sunday Seed Time and Harvest Broadcast. I also want to give you a few quick announcements, thanks to God, before we get into the outline for this week's lesson, because we're very excited and thankful to God for what he's doing in our midst. We welcome our students from our international locations in Egypt, in Fiji, as well as Ethiopia and other parts of the world. We really thank God for bringing in a harvest of souls from the nations. And so we welcome each and every one of our international students into the GBCS family. Also, we're hosting our live lesson summary reviews for GBCS on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings at 6:30 p.m. Also, classroom courses will be starting at our Forest Park in Morrow, Georgia locations in September. If you're anywhere in the Atlanta metropolitan area and you want to get classroom courses, you want to contact us about that. Also, you're welcome to join us for our weekly Cell Church Fellowship through Christ Universal Church, as well as our monthly corporate worship and training opportunities. So there you have the announcements. Our phone number where we can be reached is 678-278-9622, or you can visit our main website where you'll see links to all of our ministries, www.agministries.net. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say with me, the coming of the Lord. Yes, we're going to be talking about the Messianic Psalms as we conclude our series of studies dealing with the different types of Psalms. And I gave you our central truth and key verse for today, but as we study this lesson, we're going to focus, or our focus should be to discover the Messiah in the Psalms and exalt his name. The outline for this week's lesson, if you're taking notes with us, I pray that you have your Bible and paper and our pencils ready to take notes. The first point of outline that I'd like to discuss with you this week, children of God, is the Anointed One. The Anointed One section. We're going to talk about the vain rebellion against the Lord's anointed and that God's Son will rule. The second point of outline that I want to discuss with you is the suffering Savior. We're going to talk about in that section how Jesus suffered for us, and we're going to declare what Jesus has done. And our third and final point of outline, we're going to talk about the eternal King and Priest. In that section, we'll talk about the King rules in Zion and the dual roles of a King and Priest as well as the conquering King. Hallelujah. Remember I talked to you earlier that Jesus has come once in the flesh to pay the penalty for sin for mankind. He came as that lamb to shed his blood, but when he returns again, he will be a ruling and conquering King. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about it. All of us should be, because that's good news for every nation, no matter what creed or color or nationality, religious perspective, socioeconomic condition, gender, age. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It's salvation that is available for all of mankind. And that's why everyone should be excited to sing these psalms and relate to these psalms, which are referred to as Messianic psalms. Now, in addition to those three points of outline, let me first give you our study text so that you can know where we're coming from. Today's study text will be using Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We'll also take a look at Psalm chapter 22, 1 through 31, and also Psalm chapter 110, verses 1 through 7. So there you have the scriptures in case I don't get a chance to read it all during the broadcast. Now, in addition to those three points of outline that I gave you earlier, there are at least three things I want you to get out of this week's lesson, children of God. Somebody say with me, the coming of the Lord. I want you to be able to explain why these psalms are messianic and identify specific references to the Messiah in each one. The word Messiah means deliverer, the rescuer, the one who brings us to completion. So when we talk about the word Messiah in contemporary terms that may fit your understanding better, think about it that way, the one who comes to render salvation and to set everyone free from the limitations of this earth and to bring you into the fullness of relationship with God. That is the Messiah. So we're going to explain why these psalms are messianic, and we're going to identify specific references to the Messiah in each one of these psalms. We're also going to use the words of these psalms, I pray, to exalt Jesus and his work through personal prayer and praise time. Because these scriptures will reveal Jesus as the Messiah that has been prophesied. And we pray that you also share with others that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, understand, when we talk about Jesus being the Messiah, we're not talking about coming under a certain religion. We're talking about coming into relationship with God. And this is what Jesus came to do. He came to break down all barriers between Jew and Gentile, female, Scythian or barbarian, that is educated or uneducated, the rich and the poor. So it's all inclusive for every people, every kindred, every tongue, every tribe and nation. We know in the New Testament Gospels, Mark 16:15 says, go therefore and preach the gospel to all creatures, every creation, that is every ethnos, that is people group of the earth. So if you're listening anywhere around the world to the sound of my voice, you're listening to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who has come to bring salvation to the entire world. That is why this lesson is so very relevant for each and every one of us today as we listen in. Now, let's think about some of the introduction as we talk about the term Messianic Psalms and our subtopic, the coming of the Lord. We'll see that the Messianic Psalms are a number of psalms or songs that foretell some aspect of the coming of the Messiah. Some only contain a verse or two that prophesy the Messiah. Others are dedicated to foretelling the coming of the Messiah. And although the three psalms in this lesson that we'll be going over today may have some meaning to the writer, not all of the prophets at the time understood the message the Spirit inspired them to proclaim. They are completely messianic and prophetic in nature. Now, one scholar wrote that these three psalms comprise the core of the church's apologetic to the Jews, that is, the reason or defense of the good news of Jesus to those who may be expecting him to come at a later time. So this is a great time for us to be able to build bridges between each other and we as believers and followers of Christ. We know the Bible teaches that Jesus is the Messiah. We know that he came to earth and became human flesh to live among us and to die as a propitiation for our sins, as the perfect sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God. But when the Psalms were written, the incarnation, which is the indwelling presence of God becoming flesh, was still hundreds of years away. But with astonishing accuracy, we'll see that his coming was foretold in these messianic psalms. And the three that's chosen for this lesson foretell his coming to earth as Savior and his return as a conquering king. Somebody said me, coming of the Lord. Yes, we're talking about the messianic psalms today. So without any delay, let's go ahead and get into our first point of outline, which is talking about the anointed one. The anointed one. And for if you're going to be following along with us, you can make note or you can turn to Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 through 6. And let's begin reading. I'm reading from the NIV. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? Verse 1 says, the kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break the chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. So we see that in vain people have rebelled against the Lord's anointed. We know that in the New Testament text that Jesus was falsely accused and crucified. So Christianity or the faith in Christ or faith in Jesus as the Messiah has been under attack even before he was manifested in the earth. And we saw it play out as Jesus walked the earth, as he delivered people, healed people, showed people the way to God, that he was still willing to offer himself as a sacrifice unto God. And so all throughout the ages, before Christ walked the earth, while he walked the earth, and since he's died and rose again, there's been a vain rebellion against the Lord's anointed. Because many people who were expecting a king at that time expect the king to come and rule in the sense in which other kings prior to him had ruled. And we know anything about prior rules of kings. Their kingdoms began and their kingdoms ended. But Jesus is not just any ordinary king. He is not coming to set up a temporary kingdom that will one day end. For as Isaiah prophesied, his kingdom shall have no end. Hallelujah. So we see that he was not recognized as the Holy One, as the Anointed One by many at the time that he walked the earth. But we see the psalmist prophesied that his kingdom would indeed be established. So if we think about that for just a moment, saints, we'll see that the first three verses in Psalm 2 could describe any time in world history. The rulers of nations have always competed for power, but these nations have one thing in mind, rebellion against God, because generally people are determined to remove themselves from the rule of the Lord and his anointed. Generally, people want to be ruled by their own selves. They want to be in control of their own destinies, of their own lives. And say, if we were to look back through the course of history, whenever God allowed people to determine their own fate, they sealed their fate as a result of it. Because we realize, saints, that no human can frustrate the will of God. We realize throughout the whole span of humanity's history that God is in charge, that the nations generally plot in vain. If we note the word the Lord that describes the Lord's response in these verses that we read, it says that the Lord laughs in derision. He rebukes and he terrifies the nations. Now, it mentions the name Zion in verse 6, and that refers to Jerusalem at that time. But we also know that as the span of time has transgressed or progressed, we see that Zion is a word that is a synonym for the eternal kingdom of God. So it does not necessarily represent a place in the earth, but we know that when Christ comes back to rule and to reign forever in his kingdom, that he will come to rule and reign on earth that has been recreated, that the former things have passed away. All things have become brand new. Hallelujah. So we can't think about this Zion as a Jerusalem as a place in the earth at the current time, but it would be a representative of God's eternal kingdom that will come down out of heaven. If you look at the book of Revelation, it talks about a new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Hallelujah. So we see that Christ's kingdom will be a kingdom that's nothing like the kingdoms that have ever preceded it before, in the sense that it will not have a human as a king. It will not have a beginning and an ending. It will just exist throughout all eternity. And so that's something that we should all be excited for when Christ is crowned and installed as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the Messianic Psalms today, the coming of the Lord. And so this first section that we looked at in our scripture from Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 so far has talked about how people, mankind, has in vain rebelled against the Lord's rule and reign over their lives. The psalmist went on to talk about the fact that in spite of man's rebellion, that God will still reign. If you look at verses 7 through 12 of that same chapter 2, verse 7, it reads as such, "I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, and he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. Or his wrath will flare up in a moment. But blessed are all who take refuge in him.'" Oh, thanks to God. So you see, up to the very end, or up to the beginning of Christ's reign, there will be those who will still be rejecting him. But the scripture gives great hope to those who place their faith in the Lord. It says blessed, and that means fortunate, to be envied, highly acclaimed are you above men, all who take their refuge in the Lord. So thanks to God today, no matter what you've heard about Christ, no matter where you are around the world, today the psalmist is singing a song that would remind those who heard those songs being sung of the reality that the Messiah will ultimately rule and reign over the entire world. And that is in spite of people's attempts to annihilate the reality about who Christ is. In spite of mankind's attempt to cause confusion and that Satan, our adversary's attempt to divide people's attention away from Christ into various religions and sects of the earth that divide people, when Christ came, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somebody ought to give God praise right there. So we recognize Christ as followers of Jesus. We are Christian. We want to be Christ-like. We realize that Christ, the Greek word, means that he is the anointed one, the Hebrew, the Messiah. Hallelujah. So we recognize that because he is anointed, when he died and rose again, he anointed us with power of the Holy Spirit that we may also represent him as salt and light in the earth. So we're so blessed to be able to see this part of Psalm 2 and how it applies to our world today. Even though the incarnation had not happened, we see that the Psalms was fulfilled through the life of Jesus in the Word becoming flesh. We know that Jesus will return again to establish his eternal kingdom in the earth. For all of those that place their trust in him will be inhabitants of that kingdom. So let's understand somewhat about now why the confusion about who Jesus was when he came into the earth and why he died for us. Let's talk about the suffering Savior, our second outline. You'll find that in Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22, verses 1 through 21. Now, I won't have a chance to read all of that, but as you read Psalm chapter 22, verses 1 through 21, you'll see that Jesus, as I've alluded to earlier, suffered for us. Who is the us? He suffered for all of mankind. If you look at John 3:16 and 17, it says, Jesus, God so loved the world, not just Christians. For God so loved the world, not just those who believed in him. For before we came to love Christ, he already loved us. God loved us by giving his son, that you would not be condemned, but that you will be saved through faith in him. So Jesus suffered for us. And this is what the psalmist is saying in verses 1 through 21 of Psalm 22. And why would Christ be willing to lay down his life? Why would the Father be willing to give his son? Well, simply one word. It was love. His great love that he has for us. Now, we can recall that much of the prophecy about the Messiah is about the Messiah's king. Jesus came to be king of all things, the king of kings, the Lord of lords. In David's heir and the rule of Abraham's people, he would also rule over them, but not in the sense in which people thought. Because before he would rule them as a king, he wanted to intercede for them as a priest. He wanted to offer himself as the sacrifice for the sins of all people. So the Messiah, Jesus, will be both king and the one who is humbled and suffers. Psalm 22 begins with the role of the Messiah as the one who suffered and died for us. And we know this psalm foreshadows Jesus as Messiah because Jesus quoted it on the cross himself. You see, saints, it was our sinless Lord, Jesus, who suffered and died on a cross to redeem us or to purchase us back because we had been held captive by sins, past, present, and future. But the good news of Jesus Christ for every man, woman, boy, and girl around the world is that Jesus has paid the penalty. He paid the price for your sin through his life. So our sinless Lord Jesus suffered and died on the cross to redeem us. And in that moment, the separation from God that we deserved. He felt the separation so that we could experience the reconciliation. Somebody ought to give God praise. We're talking about the messianic psalms, the coming of the Lord. And right now we're talking about the fact that he was a suffering Savior. So when Jesus used this psalm to cry out his feelings, it was at that moment that he trusted the Father and carried out the Father's plan on our behalf. You see, saints, the physical details of Jesus' death are foreshadowed in verses 6 through 18. He was mocked. The mockers included ideas like let God save him. The crowd surrounded him. The abuse of his body, they took his clothes and they tore his joints. And it melted his strength and dried his mouth, and he cried out, I thirst. It talks about the fact that his hands and his feet were pierced, and that the soldiers gambled for his clothes. In the three next verses of Psalm 22, verses 19 to 21, are a prayer for deliverance. You see, Jesus may have been thinking these words on the cross when he recalled the psalm. In the first half of Psalm 22, we heard the cry of an individual in intense suffering for us. In the second half of the psalm, we hear his suffering changed to praising God for us. From feeling rejected by God, he praised God for hearing him and not hiding his face from him. So we see that the remainder of Psalm 22 is a declaration of what the Lord has done in redemptive history. He's declared his righteousness in verse 31. All nations and families, all rich people, and all who die, and all future generations will declare the praises of God because the Lord rules everyone and everything in the heavens and the earth. Somebody ought to give God praise. The coming of the Lord today. Yes, we're studying the Messianic Psalm. So, saints, when we recall what Jesus did for us, we are humbled. He suffered a cruel death that we might have eternal life. The words of this psalm can help us find the words to feeling his suffering, and we should thank him. So it may be hard for some people to see Jesus as the Messiah, but who no one can dispute that Jesus lived a sinless life. He was a friend of sinners and saints alike. He reached across all spectrums of society and extended love and grace to all. He still continues to do so today through the power of his Holy Spirit. So far as we studied the Messianic Psalms, we've talked about the anointed one of Jesus Christ and that he was the suffering Savior, but the story is not ended. He will return as an eternal king and priest. If you were to read Psalm chapter 110, we also begin to see in the New Testament, in Matthew 22, when the Pharisees tested Jesus after he had silenced Sadducees. When he answered the question, he says that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. We understand that this is a poetic imagery. It talks about the day of God's power or the day of battle. It indicates thy people that we are the Lord's army and that we will be arraigned to rule with him as a holy splendor. We are the womb of the morning. It will indicate the radiance of the glory of God being reflected through us as we represent him in the earth and as he comes to claim us as his very own, but also comes to judge those who have rejected him. With eternal life for those who embrace him, with eternal damnation for those who have rejected him. Saints, and all who listen to me today, I want you to think about the stories in today's news in contemporary society. Do you see the raging of the nation, the plotting of people against God's plan? Well, the Psalms of the Messiah are more relevant today than ever before. Every day we draw closer to the day when Jesus will be seen by all to be God's anointed king. The Messiah has come as Savior, but he will come again and reign forever. So reading, praying, and singing the Psalms about the Messiah can strengthen our faith. They also give us words to share with others the good news about Jesus, our Messiah. So this week, I want you to make the Messianic Psalms part of your daily prayer and Bible study. I want you to thank Jesus for his sacrifice for you. I want you to praise him for his resurrection power and then share what you have learned with your family, your friends, and those whom God sends your way. Hallelujah. We studied today, saints, the Messianic Psalms, the coming of the Lord. I pray that you will rejoice as you remember these psalms as well. God bless you in Jesus' name.